We've been friends for pretty well our entire lives. And one day, it was the spring, it was coming into summer, one day she invited me. She invited me to a wedding that she was going to. It was actually somebody that both of us knew growing up. And so she said, oh, you got to come because you know him and I know him. We'll have a good time. And I really think you should come with me. And so in that moment, I agreed to go. And as I did that day, some 10 years ago, there's a bunch of things. When you get an invitation like that, there's a bunch of things that you might think about. You might think about, oh, wow, she's really pretty and she's a nice girl, and what if we have a good time? You might think, hey, if it goes well, then maybe next week we'll go for coffee, and you think about what it might look like even. What if we started dating, or what would it look like in a month from now if this went well? You might even think on the other side, what if it doesn't go well? What if it's really awkward? What if it's weird for our friendship, because even though we're kind of going as friends, but what if, something happens and now we feel weird about being around each other? There's all kinds of things in that moment about that invitation that I might have started thinking, that for you in that situation, you might have started thinking. But there's one thing or a couple of things that I never thought about on that day when I received this invitation. I want to show you a little snapshot of that, a picture that I have for you, things that really never went through my mind 10 years ago. Do we have it up there? 10 years ago, that was my now wife. And that's our golden retriever, the family dog. And that is our baby boy, Josiah, that arrived this summer that we're holding. And in that moment, when I was invited to that wedding, there's a bunch of things I thought about, a bunch of things that I thought might have come from that invitation. But that picture, I never envisioned. I never thought that that invitation might lead to him, the dog. I'm just kidding. And to our beautiful son, and to our wonderful marriage, and to the life that we have together. And I'll tell you this, I don't know what that picture is going to look like in 10 years. I don't really understand, even yet, the power of that invitation that was made one day. I didn't get it then, and I didn't see this then, and I don't know what the picture is going to look like in 10 years. But one thing I know, that simple invitation had so much power. And you know this to be true, because if you think about your own life and if you think of some of the major changes that have happened in your life, even things that you might call transformational in your life, where you look back and go, this made a huge difference. I'm never the same because of that. Most of those things, if you look back, you will find somewhere along the way an invitation that was used to start something that transformed your life. Something that, and in that picture, listen, so many things have happened in the last 10 years to bring us to this point. So many building blocks in our lives have come, and experiences and circumstances and people and all sorts of things. But we can look back and see that there was a transformation that happened because of a simple invitation for you. Some of you, you're brand new in Hamilton because at some point somebody sent you a letter and invited you to be a student at MAC. Some of us can look back and we can see transformation because somebody invited us on a date. Somebody invited us to get married. Somebody invited us to work for them. Somebody invited us to hang out with that group of friends. Somebody invited us to have that experience or go on that vacation. And we look back and we say, man, that transformed my life. And it all started with an invitation. Such a powerful and simple thing. And I believe, and today what I want you to understand, that at the heart of who God is, one of the ways that he works is through invitation. He is an invitational God. And I believe that when we put it in that context, invitation is the foundation of transformation. I believe that God uses simple invitations to become the foundation of the things that as we build on them in life, become transformational in our life. And I think you know it's true because I think you've experienced it. And I think when you think about the things that have really made you who you are, if you think about it now, you can backtrack and you can get yourself to a place where you're reminded of a simple invite. I'm looking out here today, and it's neat because a whole bunch of you are new, and that is amazing. We're so thrilled that you're here. And whether you're a MAC student just starting out and you're checking out a place to worship or to come to church, whether you were invited by a friend today, whether maybe you're not even sure about Christianity, but you're checking things out, man, we're glad that you're here. And if somebody invited you, I want you to consider today how powerful that invite could be. You know, it's neat to see Dennis and Diane here. People who took a step out to see someone that they encountered in their life, somebody they cared about, invited her into conversations, brought her out to hear about Jesus, and to see the transformation that God can do through a simple invitation. There's others of you that I can look at right now, and I know that you are here, and I have seen your life changed, and you would admit it. As you have come to hear the powerful message of Jesus, and you know the person that invited you. For some of you, it was years in between when they invited you and when you actually showed up, but eventually you did. And eventually, because of that invitation, you heard about an even greater invitation, an invitation that comes from God himself, an invitation to transform your life. And as a result of that, you've seen your life change. Not just a little bit, but you've become a new person. Those are the stories here at Westside that we love to hear about. We love to hear stories like Cheryl's. We love to hear stories like so many of you that because of an invitation somebody made to you, you were able to hear an invitation that God makes to all of us, an invitation for new life, an invitation for transformation. And that's what we celebrate here. That's really what we're all about, is helping point people towards Jesus and to let them know that he has given the greatest invitation that you could ever receive, an invitation that will transform your life if you're willing to accept it. My challenge to you today, if you've been around for a while, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you look and at one point in your life, you know somebody invited you into that, even if it was your parent inviting you to come to church when you were a little kid, whether it was somebody recently, whether it took you years to finally accept this. But my challenge is this: don't let that invitation stop with you, because it was never meant to. This invitation that we have to point people towards God and towards his character and towards what he has for us was never meant to go one step, I invite you, and then we're done. It's meant to be passed on and on and on, so that part of our transformation is seeing other people's transformation. And today, if you've come and you're skeptical, and I know there's a whole bunch of people here today, you're probably skeptical. You're skeptical of church. You're skeptical of religion. You're skeptical of what we think about God. You're skeptical of what that would mean for your life. If that's you today, just know this. We're so happy that you're here. And all we ask is that you would think about the invitation that God gives us. All we would ask is that maybe you would consider coming back again in our next series as we talk about the end of hypocrisy, because some of you are here thinking, you know what, religion is a bunch of people who are hypocrites. Next week we're going to say, you know what, there's a bunch of time where that's true. But if there was ever a critic, someone who critiqued religious hypocrisy, it was Jesus. And so we'd love to tell you what he has to say about it, what he has to say about authentic faith. So here, if you're here today and you've just come, maybe somebody invited you, you're totally skeptical, you only came so that they would stop bugging you, you just entertain it. We just want you to listen along. Consider the invitation. And maybe it's the first step in transformation in your life. Maybe it's something that you didn't even know you were looking for, that you need. But we would love for you to journey with us. And if there's questions you have for us, to be here to help answer those questions and to be here for you, regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you think about the Bible or God or Jesus, we're just glad that you're here and being part of that conversation with us. Today, as I said, I believe that God is an invitational God. And I believe he uses those invitations as a foundation for transformation. And so I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like and a little bit about what that invitation is all about, and then to challenge us this morning to take that and do something with it. If you have a Bible with you or an app on your phone and you want to join me in Luke chapter 14, we're going to read through a story that Jesus told, an amazing story that he told about what it looks like to be in relationship with God and what it could look like. And if you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. You're going to see the words behind me, and you can just follow along with us. And just to know, this is the words of Jesus that we have historically, accurately recorded for us. And we look into this, we study this, and ask, what does this look like for my life? And for those of us who accept that invitation to follow Jesus, we put a mirror up in front of our own eyes and say, what is this? What would it look like for me to live out what Jesus taught, what he exemplified, what he calls us to? And again, for others this morning, maybe for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a real long time, just to be able to evaluate the kind of invitation that God actually extends to us, and to go home thinking about what it would look like for your life if you accepted an invitation like that. So here's the story. Jesus is sitting with a bunch of people who are rich and wealthy and religiously elite, the people that sometimes you would think these are kind of the high tier of society or of religion or of the social world. And he got invited to a dinner, probably a really fancy dinner, probably the kind of dinner that's exclusive that only certain people get invited to. You know the one I'm talking about. You've got to be somebody. But the flip of the coin of that is that anybody who is anybody would have been invited to this kind of dinner, this kind of banquet or party. And Jesus takes the opportunity as he looks out and he sees how these people are acting, as he sees the hierarchy that is in their society and how they treat one another and how they treat people who would have been deemed not worthy to go to such a party. Jesus takes the opportunity to tell a story about the kind of party that God is inviting us to. This is Luke chapter 14. I start in verse 15. He says, "When one of those who reclined at a table with him heard these things, he said to him," so one of these kind of religiously elite people or wealthy people says to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is this idea that one day God is going to break into this world and things will be the way that God wants them. And so he throws this line out and says, blessed will be, but happy. People will be so happy when they get to eat bread in the kingdom, when they have a party like this, and everything is the way that it should be according to God. But Jesus said to him, then he launches into his story, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" A little bit of context. In the ancient Near East, when this was written, in Jesus' day in the first century and in his culture, when somebody threw a big banquet, I mean, this is a big party. And before we go a whole lot further, think about this for a second. I don't know how you think of relationship with God or what that would look like, how you view church, how you view what it would look like to be in a relationship with God. I feel like there's probably a whole bunch of people in our culture that feel like that would be boring. That you just have to kind of sit in the corner and pray and read a Bible and be really good and not do bad things and stop doing a bunch of things that you like to do but you think maybe you probably shouldn't do. And that wouldn't be any fun, and who wants to be part of that? And church, by the way, is boring and church is irrelevant and I want no part of it because that doesn't seem like what I want. The amazing thing is that when Jesus comes, one of the primary ways he talks about what it would look like to be in relationship with God, the invitation that he extends to people, he uses, you know, he's trying to paint a picture. What would that look like? One of the primary images he uses is a big party, a banquet, where there's lots of food, something that's so relational, something where people are happy and joyful and having fun and glad that everybody else is around them as they celebrate. Now, does that mean that our life is just going to be easy and always perfect and there's never going to be hard moments and that God doesn't call us to do difficult things and make difficult choices? It doesn't. But when you're thinking about what it looks like to be in a relationship with God, to have that as part of your life, to have him as that center part of your life, just remember that when Jesus talked about it, one of the primary metaphors he used was that of a party, that you're invited to something so good and so relational and so celebratory that it's going to be fantastic. Now, when this invite goes out, remember, this is a story. So we have a fictional person who's made this banquet up, and they've sent out invitations. In the ancient Near East, there would have been a couple of invitations for a banquet like this because everyone who's someone in the village would have been invited to this. This is a huge deal. And so a long time ahead of time, invitations would have gone out, kind of like we do for weddings. Save the date. There's going to be a huge party. We're going to take one of our best animals, and this is going to be what we're going to eat. This is going to be a huge deal. Make sure that you're ready. That would have happened way far in advance so that people could get ready and get excited and made sure that they're free. And then a second invitation would have gone out. An invitation would have gone out when the feast was finally ready and prepared, when the food was all ready and it was finally that day. Then the servants would be sent out. Again, this is somebody who's probably wealthy, has a lot, and has prepared a huge party for the whole village. They'd send the servant out and they would say, "Now the banquet is ready. You've already been invited, but it's time to come." And that's exactly what's happening here. People who have been prepared for this invitation, now they're going again, having a second invitation and saying, "Now it's time to come." Verse 17, and at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. This is, for the host, heartbreaking. We set this time aside so long ago. It's a big deal. We've prepared everything for you. And now they start to make excuses. And Jesus, as he tells this story, Jesus is such a good storyteller, and he uses some details to reinforce just how silly and outrageous these excuses are. In verse 18, it says, the first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. So somebody sends word back and says, you know what, I'd love to come to the banquet, but you'll have to excuse me because I've just bought a field. I have to go see what kind of shape it is in. Now, in the first century and in this culture, for someone to buy a field that they hadn't seen was unheard of. It was a ridiculous excuse. It would be like one of us, and you call your friend and you say, okay, we're all ready. My wedding is today. It's time for you to come out. And they would say, actually, I just bought a house over the phone in Florida, and I have to go see if it's in good shape. I haven't seen it. Sight unseen. I have no idea. I just spent all my money. I got to go to Florida. And you'd say, are you crazy? You're making that up. Nobody would do that. You're just buying property. You're spending all your money. You've never even seen the house. You didn't even go online and look at it. No, I can't come to your wedding. I got to go see the house that I paid for, that I bought. Haven't seen it. Don't know what kind of shape it's in. You go, that is ridiculous. What a terrible excuse. You're just making this up. And then verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. This is the same deal. This is a farming community. I bought 5 oxen. They're going to plow my fields. This is what I'm relying on for my livelihood. I don't even know if they can plow. I got to go examine them. Hey, come on out to my wedding. I'd love to, but I just bought 5 cars, and I got to go find out which 5 I bought. I don't even know what make they are. I hope they're reliable. No, these guys, they would have gone and they would have tested out the oxen. They would have watched them work in the fields, made sure that they can work together, made sure that they can carry the load. It would have been unheard of for them to buy oxen without first testing them out and seeing how they work and making sure it was a good investment. Sounds like you're making up this excuse. This is heartbreaking for the host. And then verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. What a terrible excuse. You gotta spend time. Now this one we laugh at because we go, this sounds actually kind of legit. Like, well, I just got married. I can't come. And, you know, we're starting a new family and all this kind of stuff. But there's no way in a village like Jesus was in and speaking about that someone would throw a banquet and somebody else would have just had a wedding. There's just not enough people, and they were so interconnected with their village that, you know, someone getting married would have made sure that their wedding day and their big party was different than somebody else's banquet. So this isn't somebody that's saying, I'm getting married today, I can't come. This is somebody saying, you know, a while ago I got married, and so, you know, I'll be at home. We can't come. And notice, that guy doesn't say, please excuse me. He just says, I'm not coming. I can't come. This is downright rude. I have an excuse, and I'm not coming. I have other priorities. I know I said yes to your invitation before, and you've prepared everything for me, but now that it's ready, I can't come. I got married a while ago. Not coming. It's heartbreaking for the host who's prepared everything and invited all these people, and now they come, each one with an excuse, with an excuse, and with an excuse. So verse 21, the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is no room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. He sees all these religiously elite people, or all of these wealthy people, or all of the people that you would expect would be invited to a great party, and they come up with excuses. Heartbreaking excuses why they can't actually come and experience the great party. So the master says, go out to the places where you'd find people begging. Go out to the people who are never invited to banquets, who are seen as unworthy, who don't have wealth, who can't pay you back for being invited to a party, who won't contribute anything, who won't bring your social status up. Go invite them. And the servant comes back and says, we did that, but there's still room. There's still people who have come and come. And we see that verse. It says, go out to the highways and the hedges. These are places where you would see people who are begging because they were lame or they were blind, because they couldn't work, because they didn't have enough. And he says, compel people to come in. Here's why he says that, because just like there were social protocol for the other people who were invited, there's social protocol for people who are seen as unworthy. And part of that social protocol is that when you're invited to something that you know you really shouldn't be invited to, when it's above your social status, you're always required to say no, to pass on that, to say, no, thank you, I appreciate the invite, but I don't belong there. I'm not part of that group. I'm not worthy to be there. I don't deserve an invite. The master says, to those people, I want you to go out, and I want you to compel them to come. I want you to tell them that this party is for them, and to fill up my house, and to let them know that this great invitation to go to something that they don't deserve to go to something that they could never pay for on their own, to go to something that they could never pay the host back for, a party that they could never throw and say, now you come to my party, and I want you to tell them that this is where they belong, and I want you to make sure that they know that they can be here and they can experience the great party and the joy and the relationships and the fun and the food and everything that we have to offer. Tell them it's theirs and tell them that this invitation is for them. Compel them to come so that my house will be filled. What a powerful invitation. Because some of us here today have gone, I don't know, I'm not really worthy. I don't know, church seems to be like it's for people who have their act together, they figured things out, they don't do certain things that I do, they haven't made certain mistakes that I have, they look different, they act different, they are different. And the message that Jesus came with in the midst of that very same kind of religious thinking, and on the other side, a bunch of religious people saying, we are the ones who belong, we are the ones who have our act together, we are the ones that deserve this. He tells this story to and says, I think some of you are the people who have made excuses to really experience the party. And so I'm here to go out and invite everyone else and to compel them to say, this is for you. This party is for you. This life is for you. This forgiveness is for you. This grace is for you. And for those of us who might say, I don't know if I fit in, I don't know if I'm worthy, he says, let's go out and compel them and say, you're exactly the person that God is inviting in. You're exactly the person that the party is for. You're exactly the kind of person that this life and this invitation is extended to. The last person that would be expected to be in church or to be a Christian. It's what Jesus devoted his life to. It's people who weren't in the in crowd, people who didn't fit in, people who weren't worthy, some people who knew they weren't worthy. And he says that's exactly what the invitation into relationship with God is all about. It is a gracious, undeserved invitation that God gives each of us. And he compels us. This invitation that you would go, but that seems too good to be true. God is going to forgive me. God is going to accept me. God is going to love me. God wants to make me his son or his daughter. I can be in part of his family despite who I am and what I've done. That's too good to be true. No, thank you. Jesus says, go out and compel those people. Make sure they know that the too good to be true offer, invitation, is exactly for them. You know, church is not always an inviting place. We know that some of you have experienced that. It can be boring. It can be intimidating. Sometimes in church culture, we build a whole bunch of rules that are designed to keep people out instead of invite people in. We're sorry for that. Sometimes we create a subculture that is so weird and foreign to people that people who aren't churchy type people are made to feel unwelcome. We're sorry for that. Because it's never what it was meant to be. It was meant to be a group of people who go out and compel people and tell them this invitation is for you. God wants you. God loves you. God's waiting to forgive you. And God wants to walk with you through every step of your life. I love, by the way, I love when Cheryl said in her video, I came to church, it was kind of intimidating. I didn't think I was going to burst into flames, but I was nervous. I love that. It's true, it can be intimidating, right? What's going to happen? What's going on here? You know, our commitment here at Westside to you, and if you're a follower of Jesus, we want to create a place where people who aren't in church love to go and find something relevant and find a real community with real faith in a real God who offers real transformation in your life. So today, if you've been part of this community for a while, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's my challenge to you, is to not keep the invitation to yourself, but to extend it. Today on your chair when you came in, there was just a small little card that says, sit with me. I want you to take that this week, and I want to challenge you to invite someone to come and sit with you next week. We've created an entire sermon series that it's for everyone. It's for those of us who are followers of Jesus. It's for those of us who are not followers of Jesus, where we address some of the big concerns or pushback that people have about Christianity. We're going to address it head on. It's going to be for people who are questioning, maybe people who are oppositional. Would you take that little card? And this week, would you just pray and ask God, who is it that you would have me give this to and say, hey, would you come to church with me on Sunday? I think you might actually like it more than you think. Now, that's intimidating. Some of us go, I don't know how to even start that conversation. I don't know where to begin. People will probably say no. Trust me, I'm a pastor. People ask me all the time, hey, what do you do? I'm a pastor. And then they go, oh, they back away. They don't want to talk to me because they know I'm going to say, hey, you should come sometime. And they go, oh, I don't really want to come sometime. So I know that struggle. I know there's going to be people in your life that you think might just say no. But maybe we'd be willing to say to ourselves, I'm going to compel those people and say, this is for you. So here's three cues this week. When you go home and you start praying about who you might invite, I want to give you three cues. When you hear somebody say something like this, this will be your cue as you carry that thing around in your pocket to go, hey, you should come with me to church on Sunday. Okay, ready? Here's three cues. Number one, I'm new here. You get on campus, you meet somebody, and they go, I'm new here. I don't know anybody in this community. I haven't been in Hamilton longer than a week. And you go, that's awesome. There's this great group of people. I would love to introduce you. Would you come with me on Sunday, and we'll help get you connected? This would be great. I'm new here. I don't know anybody. I'm looking for community. I need somebody to hang out with. I'm new here. Hey, that's awesome. You know what would be great? Come get plugged into community. Come sit with me. I'll bring you on Sunday. Here's the second one. I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with my kids. I'm struggling in my personal life. I'm struggling with my addiction. I'm struggling with anxiety and depression. I'm struggling. And you get the opportunity to say, you know what's really helped me? And I don't want to be pushy about this, but if you come with me to church, this transformed my life. And once upon a time, somebody invited me and I thought it was weird and I didn't really want to go, but I went and I was struggling. And sometimes I still struggle, but I find real answers with a real faith in a real God. Why don't you just come check it out with me? And then the third one, I had a bad church experience. Man, it was boring. Man, it was irrelevant. I hated the music. People didn't accept me. I was told to leave. When my mistakes became visible, people treated me horribly. For you to say, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Would you give it one more shot? Because my experience has been different. And I want you to come experience the opposite of that. You had a bad church experience. It might not be what you think it is or what you experienced to be. We're so sorry that happened to you. Why don't you give it a shot? Because you might find something totally different. Now listen, when you do this, something's going to happen in you. When you invite somebody, and if somebody accepts this week and comes with you next week, you're going to look at everything here differently. You're going to walk into the parking lot and go, I hope those door holders are friendly. And I hope they don't say something stupid. And I hope things look good. And I hope the coffee is good. And I hope that when the band comes up, the band is on the money. I hope the music is perfect. I hope the message doesn't go over the head of people who don't normally come to church. I hope they don't use too many big words. I hope that it's relatable. I hope that it makes sense to people's lives. I hope that it resonates with this person. I hope that the tech guy, I love you guys, that the tech guys nail everything so that the lights don't get messed up and the words are on when they're supposed to be on. I hope that everything is perfect because I want this person to get the invitation that God has for them. And that's exactly how I want you to think. And our commitment to you, as leadership here at this church, we'll do our best to create environments where people who aren't here yet come to and say, there's something real there, and I want to come back. We'll try as hard as we can to do that. If you'll go out and invite them, and for us to compel people and say, you know what it's like when God enters your life and when you allow him to transform you? Life can still be tough. There's still struggles. There's still obstacles. You don't become perfect overnight. But it's kind of like a really great party that God invites you into with the greatest food and with wonderful people and with music and with singing and with dancing as we celebrate what he's done for us. Because the greatest invitation is found in this, a God who sent his son to die for us, to make the emphatic statement that he loves us that much, to compel us that the invitation is for you and it's for me and it's for your family and for your friends and it's for the thousands of students at Mac and the faculty and for the people that you rub shoulders with at work, and to say, yes, I know it's too good to be true, that God would forgive you and that God would live with you and that God would empower you to a new kind of life. And I know we don't deserve that, but it's true. It's true. Come join the party. Could you imagine what it would look like if each of us went out and invited the people around us to come and hear that invitation? Let me help you. We can't imagine that. Just like over 10 years ago, when a pretty girl invited me to a wedding, and I could have never imagined our baby boy and the life that we have together. And I still can't imagine what that's going to look like in another 10, 20, 30, 40 years. If we all go out, the mindset of inviting people to hear this incredible message, I don't think we could even imagine what it would look like, how it would change our community, how it would change the people around us. It would be so much better. Because the power of an invitation, it's an invitation, simple invitation, it's a foundation to transformation. So will you go out this week, take the character of God, a God who would invite us into this party, just act a little bit godlike. Take that invitation. Ask somebody who's not here yet to come with you. For some of you, the invitation is right now. For you to come back, just be part of a conversation over the next 4 weeks as we go through this series to hear about a God who loves you, is willing to forgive you, and who has died in order to show you how much he loves you. More than that, who has risen to offer you a new life. I could only imagine what it would look like if we'd all go out and invite just one person this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this invitation's been offered to us. Thank you for the way that we have seen you transform lives. Thank you for Cheryl and the story that we've heard today of her life. God, we pray that today everyone here might know your love and your grace, the invitation that you've extended. God, would you help us to courageously go out? And because this is the greatest message we could ever imagine, to invite people to come in and even to compel them and to let them know that this may seem too good to be true, but it's exactly what you have for them. God, we pray that we would see, not because of what we can do, but because of what you can do, transformation in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our world. Thank you that we get to be part of it. We look forward to seeing what you will do through simple invitations. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.